Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, text number, or chapter number 7, text 28. Yesam tantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dandamohani mukta bhajantemam dridavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who've acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, gradually, they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahat sevam dvaram ahur vimukte. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamo dvaram jositam sangi sangam. All the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Ginnana Salakya Shakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Siguro Siyutapada Kamalam Sigurun Vaisnavamscha Sirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakun Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchaka Patarubhyacha Kripa Sandhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So here in this verse, pious activities are being glorified. Not as the goal, right? If we listen carefully, we see that pious activities are considered to be beneficial and must be engaged in, but not as the goal, but as preliminary activity. Because it is through engaging in pious activities that one becomes eligible to take up devotional service. Therefore, it is favorable. However, there is a shortcut, even for the impious, even for those whose minds are always dwelling on sinful activities. Even for them, even for the hypocrites who externally are acting very nice and saintly, but internally are not so pure at all. Even for those, there is a shortcut. That shortcut is for 99.9% of us our only hope. Because after all, who are we? Piety has diminished how many generations ago in our life? How many generations before was piety already lost? So it is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that comes into the sinful life of fallen people in the world where everything has gone astray. And we don't have to go far. It's like I haven't been there for years in Checkers. But whenever I would go, I always saw the ladies mopping the conveyor belt at the cash register from all the substances that were leaking out of the plastic bags. And then when I was trying to buy something, she said, "Put it on the belt." I said, "I'm not putting it on the belt." No way. Forget it. So what to do? It's not far from home. That is my point. We do not have to travel far to see impiety illustrated. That impiety exists all over the world. Yes, I don't know. I don't know what the Durban impiety is like. I know what the impiety is like in my country, in Amsterdam, I know. Right? Another sinful place. But sinful activities are covering the globe. That is really the reality. Therefore, it's not a time that we can just nicely stay in our religious institutions and feel good about ourselves. It's not a time where we can stay in our temples and everything very flowery and sweet when we are concerned with ourselves. That will not do. That will not do. Because we cannot expect that then we will be saved from the influence of the illusory energy, which is all around us. Here, a little island, a last little island in the middle of an ocean, and even here, the material desires are very, very strong, very strong. Devotees are finding that externally they accept spiritual life, but internally they struggle. And internally, they feel the pushings of the mind, the senses, very, very strong. And some are cutting some edges. So how to overcome, how to deal with this, how to control the mind? The question is asked 1,000 times over, again and again, many times a day. That question is asked again, how can we conquer the mind? How can we conquer lust? How can we overcome material desires? How can I become humble? How can I become spiritual? How can I become saintly when I'm not? Or on the Indian train, Swamiji, I don't know how you are following all these things. Yes. How are we following these things? By incredible determination? By great piety? Is it then that there are a few special souls amongst us who follow everything? No. No, the key is very simple. The key is devotional service. Simply engage in devotional service. And so much so that there is no time to worry about the mind and the senses. Whenever there is time that the mind becomes agitated, the answer is more service. And then still the mind gets agitated. When the mind gets agitated about, I have too much service, that's all right. That's good. Because otherwise the mind would be agitated about material things. As Prabhupada said, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And then he said, the devil means kamani kanchini, money and sex life. He says, that's ultimately what will come. So spiritual life is practical. It must begin. It must begin with service. Right here, on the level where we are. Because that we can do. If anyone asks me how to be brahminical, then what can I say? All I can say is, I don't know. Because I don't know if I'm brahminical. Maybe not. Maybe not in every respect. Maybe not in the respect of culture. At least one time I was in Sridharmayapur talking to Janani Vas, the head pujari. And he was saying, he said, it's very difficult for us to become brahmanas. And I looked at him, if it's difficult for you, then what about me? To be perfectly situated in the mode of goodness may be difficult for us. It may not happen this lifetime. But that's also not our objective. Our objective is simply to serve, to serve Krishna and to become attached to serving Krishna. And the more we become attached to serving Krishna, the more everything else disappears. Right? The more it begins to look bleak. Not magically, hocus pocus, oh, all my sinful thoughts are gone. No, not like that. But one thing's, no, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Sinful thoughts may come. But one comes to a point and says, no, it's just not worth it to pursue these lower desires. It's not worth it. And one can let go and then take shelter of more service and more. And then gradually the material desires become even less significant. And they start to appear less and less in the mind. And one must fill the mind. Fill the mind with service. And meanwhile, we are hearing about Krishna. Only working for Krishna is also not easy. Because then after a little while, we start to experience that working for Krishna as a burden. So that may also not work. We must hear. Without hearing, life is dry. Life is dry. I have a phone like most modern people, and my contract was up, so I could get a new phone. I got like, oh my God, what do I do now? Now I have to have a new phone. Oh no, I actually liked my old phone. It was okay, did the job. Then I found out that I don't have to get a new phone. It's not required. You can just go on with your old phone. It's fine. There's no rule against it. You know that? I did. Wow, that was far out. But then I put in a bigger memory card in the old phone and more lectures of Prabhupada, and now I'm so happy. I'm so happy, not because of the phone, but because of the lectures of Prabhupada, that I have access to these things. So, as we live in a modern world, we can also using the material objects to help us remember Krishna. Now that is needed. Everyone has to make that kind of arrangement. Otherwise, when will we hear? Sabda pare chanisnatam brahmani upasama srayam. Sabda, transcendental sound, is essential as bathing. Anyone who didn't take a bath today? I hope not in the first row. Anyone who, some people take bath once a month. Yes, that's possible. But of course, after a while, it becomes noticeable. So in the same way, with sound, sapta pare chanisnatam, snatam, referring to snan or to taking bath, one should bathe in transcendental sound, sapta pare chanisnatam, again and again, because the consciousness also again and again tends to absorb material contamination. Srila Prabhupada instituted the festival in Mayapur and Vrindavan. And he said the devotees should go once a year to that festival. That was the idea. He said so that they would become purified from all the contamination that inadvertently creeps in. So that's an interesting topic. Contamination that inadvertently creeps in. What about that? Yes, it's absolutely going to happen to any good practitioner of bhakti. To the sadhaka, it's going to happen. Only the liberated soul cannot be touched by the material energy. But everyone else will become touched by the material energy. So many impressions go into the consciousness. What we see, what we hear. There is a story, I like it. It is a story about Gandhi, and it's about how Gandhi was celibate. And he was asking the same from the leaders in his movement. And one of his important leaders was married, but celibate. And separate bedrooms for over 20 years. Then some political enemy sent a prostitute with the idea to break his determination. So the lady came to take notes as a secretary. And tried in various ways to attract his mind. But nothing happened, at least with that prostitute. But that night, for the first time in more than 20 years, he went to the bedroom of his wife. Isn't that interesting? I mean, about the topic of material influences inadvertently creeping in, and then seeing how one picks up the impulse for a material activity in one situation and it comes out in another. That's interesting. And there you, Bollywood and the dance that's obscene, yes, goes in one place, comes out in another. Possibly so. Or other varieties of taking in impulses. So we see so many things, hear so many things. What are we to do? In this regard, there is the story of Ajamil. Puranic histories give us a little background about Ajamil that may not be found in Srimad Bhagavatam, and tell us that Ajamil was an exceptional boy. When he was in training in the Gurukul, his teachers were just amazed at what a wonderful student he was. So therefore, they decided that they wanted to do his astrological chart, and they made all the calculations and so on. And then they were shocked. They were shocked. They were shocked to see that within a period of 6 months, Ajamil would suddenly change, and suddenly he would give up all his spiritual practices. And so they decided that in order to safeguard him from that, to get him married as soon as possible. So they got him married straight away, but to no avail. And although he was married to a nice Brahmin girl, he himself being from a good Brahmin family, good Gurukul, training, never touched non-veg in his life, and so all these things. yes, at that time, when Ajamil went for a stroll in the forest, Ajamil saw a man embracing a prostitute. And just somehow or other, it created this desire in him. Such a strong desire that on the spot, he developed a desire to enjoy with that particular prostitute. And somehow or other, he managed to find out who she was, where she lived, and so on. And at one point, he sent his wife off to her father. Time to visit your father, Davy. And Davy went. And then he took that prostitute in his house. And Srila Prabhupada is commenting and is saying, how is it that Ajamil, who was so much more qualified than we are, that he fell prey when he saw that prostitute? Then what is our chance, who are much less qualified and have to see things worse than that practically every day? What is our chance? A chance like a snowball in hell. Not so good. No. Or a sweet ball in the Hare Krishna temple. Even less chance on survival. A snowball may survive hell, but not a sweet ball in a Hare Krishna temple. Anyway, what is our chance? Our chance is there that We are walking around and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. These material desires don't affect me at all. I don't feel very bothered at all by these things. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. These lower material afflictions are behind me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. No, no, no. Know very well that as Maya is coming and throwing her various temptations at us, it's not us who take it on the chest. It's Lord Chaitanya who invisibly gets in between, who invisibly blocks all these attacks. And it is for that reason only that we are Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, walking around and doing well. It is by that mercy, by that special mercy. So yes, that is my next point. My next point is that spiritual life is a combination of sadhana, of serious practice, and a combination of mercy. And we need both. And we must be serious about our practice, but we know that in spite of our so-called being serious, that's not so serious. Even our being serious is only lukewarm, really. So whatever it may be, our capacity to be serious in spiritual life is not so great. So that's where we begin to realize. We're still trying, but that's where we begin to realize how much we need mercy, how much we depend on this mercy. At that point, we have to start seeking it. We have to, with great eagerness, look for mercy wherever we can find it. Krishna, it is said, Vrindavanam parityaya na padam ekam nagacchati, that Krishna never takes one step outside of Vrindavan. Krishna is always in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is eternal. And now, here we are in this temporary material world, and everything is happening. Oh, it's happening. So many things are happening to us, good and bad, and we talk about it and need some counseling or have to deal with it and have to deal with this temporary reality and everything that we're going through that is related to it. But there is another world, an eternal world. Krishna is there. Krishna is absorbed in his eternal pastimes. Great advanced devotees are always living in that eternal reality. They're not thinking so much about what's going on here, what's going on there. Externally, they do. They deal with it. But internally, they don't. And therefore, they're not affected by the externals of this world. But such devotees are very, very rare. Others, they are very much affected. It is said we enter into the boat of transcendental knowledge, which is, and so that is the process of devotional service. As soon as we take it up, four regulative principles, 16 rounds, and devotional service, and we're in the boat of transcendental knowledge. At that point, we are already liberated. We are liberated from the modes of material nature, as long as we're in that boat. But while we are in the boat,
We feel the boat is shaking by the waves. The waves are beating it and it's rocking, and we feel like very much affected by the three modes of material nature, although we are on the transcendental platform. That is the position of the sadhaka, of the devotee in practice. It's at that stage that we need mercy very much mercy. Somehow or other, we need mercy to rise above our material desires. Yes. Well, where to take it from here? Obviously, there is a lot of mercy. I was just in Vrindavan, and anybody can see there's a lot of mercy. It was very nice transcendental kirtan, transcendental places. So nice. But when we stay there, then it's not so easy. I remember the time when I stayed in Vrindavan full time. And Tamal Krishnamurti came to me one day and he said, "You don't know how fortunate you are. You don't know how fortunate you are that you are staying here all the time." Well, of course, for my false ego, that was a bit of a blow. I don't know. But then, we don't know. We don't know. So we are surrounded by good fortune and mercy, and that good fortune and mercy is protecting us, is saving us, is nourishing us. Now it's up to us to take it and to become Vaishnavas. But staying in Vrindavan alone is difficult. One has to also preach. One has to also become an instrument of mercy. If we don't become an instrument of mercy, life becomes dry. Spiritual life becomes dry. We remain self-centered. Even if we are in the most spiritual environment, then it's still my spiritual life. You know, Krishna and me, or me and Krishna, something like that. It's still ourselves. And this is our biggest problem. Always thinking about ourselves. So we have to start preaching. Just like this temple. It's undoubtedly a very special place. I think there is no temple quite like it in the entire world. It's a unique building. It really is. And I mean, inside, it's definitely dazzling or something like that. Let's say it's an inspired building. The architect was inspired by Krishna, and the whole worship is very gorgeous and opulent and so on. But still, if the temple doesn't become a base from where the mercy goes out to the world, and then after a while it becomes very dry. Very dry. Even with all the opulence, with all the deity worship, with all the gorgeous arrangements, with all the festivals, it becomes dry. Even Rath Yatra. Oh, Rath Yatra.
meeting going on right now. Indrajumna Swami and Namahata leaders talking Rath Yatra. Yes. So Rath Yatra is such a big festival. But even when Rath Yatra is just about us, then it also becomes dry. If it's just about us having a good time, then it will not satisfy the heart. As long as we are concerned with having a good time, first we want to enjoy material life. I have a simple analogy that I came up with years ago about a person who was born in a desert. Of course, not in a desert, but in an oasis. And this oasis was the oasis of sense gratification. Then one day, a person came and said, there's a beautiful green land, the spiritual world. And here comes a sadhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj. So we were just entering into this analogy, this story, how a person was born in the desert, not in a desert, anyway, born in a desert, not in the desert, in an oasis. It was the oasis of sense gratification. When a powerful devotee came and told him about a wonderful green land outside of the desert, representing the spiritual world, some people from that oasis were ready to travel with our devotee. But in order to do that, the first thing they had to do was leave the oasis of sense gratification and go into a desert of sense control. And there, the hot sun of lust was burning on their head. And it was a great austerity. Many said, forget it, we're going back, this is too much. Some went crazy and lost it and ran off into the desert. But those who stayed faithful and followed their guide and carried on his directions came eventually to a second oasis in that desert. Some said, now the oasis of goodness, the mode of goodness. Some said, I stay here. Some said, this is fine by me, nice place, I'll stay here. So in the oasis, in the material oasis, we're enjoying sense gratification. In the second oasis of the mode of goodness, we're enjoying spiritual life. But that's still not good enough. We have to go further. We have to go out of that oasis, back into the desert voluntarily, and take on voluntarily the hardship of struggle. Then the landscape will change. Then it will change. Then it will start getting greener and greener until we reach our destination. So that is the key. So the key goes beyond just enjoying our own parties and festivals. Or, as I said before, I'll summarize it for Indrajumna Maharaj. As I said, we have a unique temple in the world. There's no second one like this. Haven't come across, right? We have gorgeous deity worship. And we can just relish, but it's not enough. As long as we are not using this temple as a place from, as the headquarters from where we flood South Africa with mercy. It is that which is the place where we are. It is said Sei pancha tattva mili prithivya siya purva prema bandhira mudra gadiya pancha mili luta prema kora ashvadan yata yata piya trishna badaya nukshan. It is said that the pancha tattva broke the lock to the storehouse of love of God. It had remained locked so far, but they broke it. So, and then they went inside. They drank whatever was there to their full satisfaction, and then they distributed it. So, that is called the Prema Bandar, the storehouse of love of God. So this temple is that. It is the Prema Bandar, the storehouse of love of God. We drink here, and that drinking is spiritual nourishment, which helps us to deal with our material desires. We must remain spiritually charged. But then we should know that if we really want to rise above the material energy, we have to become an instrument in giving out the mercy. Then we'll get mercy. And that is just like I was saying that Indrajumna March is on the other side having a meeting about Rati Yatra, is making the same point that if Rati Yatra is just for us, our party, year after year, then it's not enough. Then it will not be enough to keep us spiritually surcharged. Oh, for a while, it may be so enlivening, but it will not last. But if we become part of the team that uses that Rati Yatra to just give out the mercy, then it will lift us to another level. Then our spiritual life takes on another dimension. And that is really my point. Yeah, that is my point. So, summarizing the logic of my lecture, just from our own need, in spiritual life to rise above the material energy, the only option is to begin to distribute the mercy. Nothing else will work. We can lock ourselves in a cave and chant 64 rounds or double or three times as much unless we get into that mood of giving out the mercy. It will not free us from material desire. That is truly the only means to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully, that we have to understand. It is that what Srila Prabhupada taught, and it is that what we are doing. I can of course ask for your questions now, and I'll do that. You know, so if you have any questions on the sheet, I'll take it. At the same time, though, you can see this table here next to me with all those books. There are more, but they were afraid to put more on the table because it's not very strong. So don't worry. No one has to miss out. Okay? It's a packet. It's not one book. It's a whole packet filled with books and nicely wrapped. And you can buy this packet from me today. Even if you don't have the money, no problem. We'll write down your name and fingerprint, and everything will be fine, right? The point is that it's my personal request that you take one packet. But it's not for you, this packet. Oh no. I know your house is already full with books. And if not, then you can speak to Indrajumna Maharaj, who will sell you a full set. He does only sets. He doesn't do one book at a time. So for the full sets, you can see Maharaj. And for me, okay, I'm just a small timer. But for me, you can take a packet. And that packet, you can distribute it somehow or other. How? Creatively, if you're really scared to give it to anyone, leave it in the doctor's waiting room, just with the magazines, or give it to the maid, or someone at work, or a birthday, whatever, right? So pass it on. Of course, this program, I have started it since a few years, in December, and this year I'm a little late, but I want to ask you to please participate, seriously. So I'll answer your questions and then you can come over and please collect the book. In order to reach other religions to understand the Vedic teaching and suggestions, I like distributing pamphlets and booklets. Thank you. That is very, very nice. That's the spirit. Srila Prabhupada also had a spirit in New Delhi to distribute Back to Godhead magazine. And he was struggling in those days to get it printed. Then one day when he was in the printers, the printer told him and said, "Why don't you print books instead of magazines?" He said, "Because books, you know, they are more durable. Right? A magazine, people read it and then it's over. A pamphlet, you look at it and then it's gone. But a book is something you keep. It stays on the shelf, you read it now or later, whatever. It's an asset. Therefore, I think that it's very nice. You like to distribute pamphlets and booklets. I think it's a good beginning. I think today you can graduate. Congratulations. You can graduate to the next level and start distributing books. Just come and see me after I'll give you a couple of these packets. We find that people read less or do not read at all. The public libraries are feeling the impact and may soon close down. How are people going to read Srila Prabhupada's books when people are moving away from books and moving towards digital information? Well, it is a fact that the digital information is inconceivable. And e-book readers are selling like anything and so on. There's no doubt. But what was also found that many people, when they read a book that they found of some value in an electronic form, that afterwards many people buy the hard copy. Right? Because a book is still something better than an electronic device. Even if you can jump to page number this and that. See, a book, you hold it in your hand. You just leaf through it and stop here and there. And you know, you have the whole 2 pages. I know you have it also on your iPad, but it's just as heavy as your book, you know. I mean, God, these things are heavy, these iPads. And the resolution on the mini stinks, so they say. And it costs a fortune. Whatever, the books are dirt cheap. The books are... people will return to books. And don't forget that books will stay. The books are not just here for the people of today. The books are also here for their children, their grandchildren. The books are being planted in homes for people that are not yet born. Right? The books are durable. So the books should by no means be replaced by digital means. Today it's there, and tomorrow it just disappeared in the ether. Whoop, gone. Has it happened to your hard drive yet? So, you know, all your gigabytes in one moment disappeared. A book is in that way durable. So no, it's another... I have a feeling that you're responding to the stack of books that you saw here and looking for an excuse not to get yourself a packet. But such justifications will not work, right? I will personally take mental pictures, right, of those who don't take books. And from the, and they get less blessings. Everyone gets blessings for sure, but they get less. Those who take the books get more. There are only two questions, so it looks like I'm done. That means that I have to get over to the business of the day, if it's all right. Then. So the first person gets the most blessings. I'll come down from the Vyasa, and I don't like to do it from the Vyasa. Please rise and line up. That makes it much easier. Huh? 100 rands. It's like, it's nothing. In the Juna Maharaj wants to make an announcement. That's good. While in the Juna Maharaj makes an announcement, all of you come forward and please collect your books from me.
Thank you. Let us welcome His Holiness Indradyumna Swami Maharaj. He's here on a special mission, as we all know, is the driving force behind the Rath Yatra, inaugurating the first one on Durban beachfront. So from that time, Maharaj has been overseeing, been very involved in this project, the Rath Yatra project. So before I hand over the mic to Maharaj, if Maharaj would give me a few minutes, I'd like to also welcome to Durban, and not at the temple at the moment, but at a disciple's home, His Holiness Krishna Das Swami Maharaj is here. Tomorrow, His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj arrives. He's back. Next weekend is the Rath Yatra in Phoenix, New Jagannath Puri Temple. And you can follow all of this on the ISKCON Durban Facebook page. So now let me hand over the mic to His Holiness Indradyumna Swami Maharaj.
Actually, I just came to buy my book. Now, I'm going to sell this book for 200 rand. It's not funny. Otherwise, I'm not going to go on with my talk about Rath Yatra. Someone has to come forward and buy this book for 200 rand. Hare Krishna. Okay. You give the money to me. So Maharaj made 300 rand. We're setting the standard here. 300 rand for a set of books. It actually is very important. It's so nice to see Maharaj taking part in the book distribution in at this time of the year, the December marathon. It's happening all over the world. And devotees in hot climates, devotees in cold climates and everything in between are all participating. It's that one unifying activity in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness that happens every year. And you'd be very fortunate to participate. So this is a good way to do it. It's Sankirtan made easy. They're all packed up. It's a good selection of books here. I was looking at it, Krishna book, and On the Way to Krishna and some others. So please facilitate Maharaj's participation in the marathon and make your lives fortunate. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once said that this preaching, it does good for you and it does good for others as well. So this is one way that everyone can participate in the Sankirtan movement. And Prabhupada looked forward to these marathons very much. He himself was actively involved. And at the end of the marathon, December, end of December, beginning of January, the results were brought to Srila Prabhupada, and he would just beam with appreciation. And his blessings were distributed to all of his disciples. So I hope by the time we all leave, this table's empty. And Mara says he has more somewhere. Oh, there's four more boxes here. Actually, I'm supposed to... I'm here to specifically to inform you that this coming Wednesday, which is 12-12-12, I don't know what that means, but they told me to say that. 12-12-12, the 12th day of the 12th month of this 2012, we're going to have the official launch for this year's Rath Yatra Festival. And as probably all of you know, this is the 25th anniversary. This is a milestone in our Rath Yatra. It was Srila Prabhupada actually who started the Rath Yatra, in the sense here in Durban that he requested that this temple be built and that the Rath Yatra festival begin in public. In this way, everything was covered. We had a temple, and by Lord Jagannath's chariot, going throughout the town, everyone had the opportunity to come in contact with Krishna consciousness. So actually, Parthasarathi Goswami, he began those Rath Yatra festivals in the outlying areas. It was very successful. But when we were temple president here in 1987, we took the opportunity to make it a grand affair in Durban, on the Durban beachfront. It was particularly a challenge because that was the area of apartheid and white-dominated era, you know better than me. But we took this Hindu festival, we took this Vaishnava festival, this grand event from Jagannath Puri, and we made a big splash on the Durban beachfront. You could say we did it under the noses of the apartheid authorities. This was Lord Jagannath's mercy. And it's been going on, the momentum has been going on for many, many years. And this is going to be the 25th anniversary, again, a great milestone. And we're going to have a special presentation on Wednesday. I'd like you all to come. I'd like all the devotees to come, anyone who's connected directly, indirectly, indirectly, indirectly. Everyone should come, because this is it's a combined effort. It's like our family. It's the pride of our family, actually, that we're able to put this festival on every year. A lot of new developments, a lot of new programs, new tents, new ideas. I'm not going to share that with you now. That's for the talk on Wednesday. So please try to bring as many people as you can. We're going to reveal the official logo. We have a very nice logo. And last but not least, there's going to be a fabulous feast. But I don't want that to be the main reason you're coming. I want all of you to participate. This year, really, the mood of the Rath Yatra is one of service. We've been enjoying the Rath Yatra for many, many years. But actually, the deeper meaning, well, there's several layers of deeper meanings with Rath Yatra. But one is to spread the mercy of Lord Jagannath, to spread to the mercy of the Lord to those who have never had any contact with Krishna or Krishna consciousness. So I want to focus on this theme this year, that to, like the British Air Force, they have a nice slogan, to fly to serve. So we want to make this the people's festival. We're there to serve the people and give them the opportunity to flood into the Ratha Yatra event and enjoy the festivities. No doubt we'll be there as well, because we had this momentum. We have so many people coming over the last 24 years, so we'll all be there. But I want everyone to be in the spirit of serving the people and introducing them to Krishna consciousness. And we'll be speaking about how you can do that. It can be the people's festival, and they can enjoy it very much with so many different new introductions and ideas, etc., etc. So we came to South Africa to participate in the Krishna Balaram Mela. It was a youth festival up in Johannesburg, and also for this opportunity to speak to you on Wednesday how we're going to conduct the 25th anniversary of the Ratha Yatra. And all of you are part of that. You'll all be engaged, so please come. We'll have the logo will be there, and all the different ideas that I have and that we're working on with our core team and our different departments. It's going to be very, very exciting. A great, great milestone again in the South African Yatra. So please come, bring your family. It should be, something on the level of the crowd we get at Janmashtami. Well, maybe not that big, but something along the line. I'd like everyone to be participating and getting in the mood. So that's, what time does that start, Anuradha? 6:30. Did I cover all the points? The local? Kadama Kanana Maharaj will be one of our special guests. We're one soul in two bodies. If you hear the tape, you don't know if it's me speaking or him speaking. We have the same heartbeat and Krishna consciousness, the same spirit of preaching. And we're just inviting him. He doesn't know, but he's the first official invitation. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj will be there. Who else? Yeah, that's more than enough. The most important of all is that you're all there. So 6:30, as we used to say on the old days in Sangatam, come hungry and bring a friend. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. We're always keen to have your association and your inspiring words. So we'd like to conclude the program, but again, to heed to the request of His Holiness Kadama Kanna Swami Maharaj, if there are those of you who'd like to come forward to take the books from Maharaj, and then we'll be serving prasadam. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare. See you on Wednesday in all your numbers. Hare Krishna. Switch this off. Hare Krishna. Switch it off. What's that?
This.
Switch it off.